Generation with my girl Mitch. Relationships, kids, Asian parents, work, what the fuck? The Sandwich Generation. Now, here's Mitch.
Hey, everybody, I'm your host, Mitch, and I want to welcome you back to The Sandwich Generation, the podcast where we dig deep into what it really means to hold up the middle, caring for our kids, caring for our elders, and somehow still caring for ourselves in the process. It ain't easy, y'all. It just ain't easy. You just be like, your head is spinning sometimes. So anyways, again, I'm your host, Mitch, and today we're stepping into part two of the conversation from our last episode, which just, golly, it grew a life of its own, just like our hair does sometimes, right? The hair is the name of this episode. Now, if you listen to part one, you already know that hair care, it ain't just cosmetic, right? It's cultural. It has a spirit to it. It's emotional. It's ancestral, and it can connect us as a people. But today, we're going a lot deeper. We're going ancient. We're going into our past and in our history. And there's a saying, West African saying, I believe it's Ghanaian, Sankofa, which basically is go back and fetch it. And the goal when you go back and fetch that history, you want to come back with the knowledge and the awareness, and you don't want to be so mired down in the pain. So past the lock method and past the bonding moments that we spoke on, past the family stories and the legacy is a greater legacy of our people, right? And getting straight into the history that shaped our relationship to our hair in the first place. So before we move forward, I just want to say this loud and clear. In this episode, and also in part one, this isn't about just storytelling, okay? These are acts of liberation for me even to be talking about this. We're talking about the Crown Act, which, you know, was only enacted a few years ago, technically. It hasn't even been a decade, which allows Black people to simply wear their hair the way it grows out of their head, no matter what that is, and to do what they will with it because of how it grows out of their head. Meaning if they want to straighten it, fine. Meaning if they want to wear braids, fine. Dreadlocks, fine. So these conversations in this day and age, and I do mean in this day and age, they are acts of both liberation and resistance. Because while we sit here celebrating our crowns, there are real attempts happening right now to erase and to rewrite our history. Books are being banned, y'all. Like, come on, we need to wake up. When I first heard books were being banned, I was like, wait, what? I really thought it was a joke. And my mother was the one that told me. And I thought dementia had set in. No, we're not. What is this? What was that movie? I hope I get it right. Pleasantville. You know, what do we mean we're banning books? Curriculums are being stripped. Libraries are being told to remove anything that tells the truth about us. And I mean, we know what's happening in the Smithsonian, right? And so you know what that means. It means speaking our history out loud is again defiance. This has happened before, y'all. We've been down this road before. But it's also protection to open up that throat chakra and speak. If you don't know about the chakras, I'll need to do a whole show on that. And I'll take a note. We need to do a show on the chakras. Okay? But speaking and using your voice is protection. It's love. So today, what we're going to do is we're going to remember on purpose. So remember, we are the sandwich generation. And just to remember, we're talking about the top bun, which is them kids, right? The babies, the teens, the young ones that we devote so much energy to watching and raising. They are listening to us even when they pretend not to. And they're learning from how we decide to carry our own crowns. And look, you know, our kids may live on TikTok by choice, you know, as parents, you know, that might be what we've chosen to do. And they may spend their worlds in YouTube and Discord. But they're also living in a world where they are not being taught the fullness of their own history in school. So guess who gets to teach them? Because in that multicultural world, nobody knows how to do a little black girl's hair. In that multicultural world, nobody knows the range of hairstyles for a little black boy. So we, the parents, them aunties, them uncles, you know, the mentors, we got to be the curriculum. We have to provide the curriculum for our own. So how do we teach our kids about black hair history? We have to start small. We can be real. We can be honest. Maybe we go over the history while we're detangling. Maybe we do it during wash day. You know, maybe it's the 5 minutes you finally got your teenager to come out of their room like I did in discussing part one. So here's where we can talk about things like how our ancestors braided seeds and rice into their hair as acts of survival. You know, and then in some African and Afro-diasporic communities, they use the braids of their hair to encode escape routes. Also, enslaved African women had their heads forcibly shaved as a method of control and humiliation. And maybe we have a conversation that today we get to reclaim that practice through choice. You know, shaving our heads as a reset, as a liberation. So, yeah, these are some big things to talk to kids about. How do we don't want to dumb it down, but we'd want to make it digestible. But we need to remember our kids need these stories. We don't need to do a trauma dump, but this is our lineage. This is context. This is empowerment. And so, you know, when we speak of shaved heads, you know, the kids who love seeing rocking, you know, a shaved head today is, you know, you think of Wicked and you've got Cynthia Erivo. And I think Lupita Nyong'o also went through a shaved head era. And I think there are a few others. I'm not sure how to pronounce her name. Danai Gurria, G-U-R-I-R-A, and Ayanna Pressley. You know, why would black women choose baldness? Why would they choose simplicity? Choosing power instead of having it forced upon them. So it gives our, you know, our daughters, our sons, and all of our babies a new way to look at beauty and a new way to imagine themselves. So, like I said, when do we do that? How do we gamify it, right? And these are questions I'm asking. I'm inviting you to this conversation. Our email is thesandwichgeneration@gmail.com. And that is spelled DASANDWICHGENRATION. You can also visit our website, spelled the same way, thesandwichgeneration.com. I don't always come here with all the answers. Sometimes I come here with the questions. You know, like I said, there are some really cool ways to do hair wash day. But instead of playing Coco Melon or Baby Shark, how can you get in a conversation to your four-year-old about the history of their coiled hair? How can you talk to your teenage son about, you know, the range of hairstyle options available to him? and from whence we came. You know, it's something that we have to consciously work on regularly. You know, so like I said, this is a conversation. This isn't me just coming to bring you information. This is us building community around the issue of hair. And speaking generationally, you can also have a conversation about, you know, hair types without getting into what we do in the Black community, good hair or bad hair. In the last show, we kind of talked a little bit about hair types. I believe it goes from 1A to 4C. Like I said, I don't always have all the answers. This is something that you can look up. But maybe you have, you know, hair texture that looks the same as your child's, but it's different. I discovered that with my oldest son. You know, when I got pregnant with my youngest son, I cut all of my hair off. It was so short. And when I looked at my curl pattern, I noticed that we had completely different hair. So, you know, as we teach our children these histories, we're not just telling them about the past. We're also preparing them for the world they're inheriting, because it's just, racially speaking, looking more and more dismal by the day sometimes. And we have to hold on to our hair as pride, like I said, as liberation and resistance at the same time. So coming up next, we're really going to take this deeper. We're going to move into the meat of the sandwich generation, which is you. You're sandwiched in between two generations. You got the meat, that top bun, you know, is the babies. And then the foundation is our elders. But we're going to think about self-care, or we're going to think about you. You're trying to raise the kids and you're trying to care for your elders, but how do these histories shape how we treat our own hair? How do they change how we treat our own bodies, our own spirits as adults in the middle of everything? So there are so many things to think about, you know, when it comes to hair. Like I said, the hair stories we tell ourselves sometimes, you know, people thinking you have a certain type of hair. Oh, you have good hair, like they say in the Black community. They never say anybody has bad hair, though. I think that's interesting. Who's got the bad hair? You know, I grew up with good hair, and it wasn't so good because people would always pull my ponytails. You know, it wasn't. So are your children going through things like this? That's one of the things that is going to be an upcoming episode. And sometimes you can't be Black enough to be Black, and you can't be white enough to be Black either. There's just no in-between ground. You know, that's why I taught myself Ebonics, because people would always say I sounded too white. You know, but what's the middle? Do we have to code switch our entire lives? You know what I mean? Do we have to code switch our hair? Does everything about us need to be code switched? So coming up next, we're going to talk about, like I said, some ways that we can think about hair as it pertains to you as a person. And how can it be part of your journey towards self-discovery? How can it be part of what you're doing to uplift yourself and to divide yourself three different ways? You know, raising the babies, taking care of your elders, and respecting all three of those zones of yourself. And then, you know, we got work too, and we got spouse. When does it ever end? So sometimes taking the time to find out your hair type, truly manage your hair, however that works for you, and to do whatever it is to help you find comfort and peace. You know, the answer could be in your hair. And the history could be in your hair as well. Coming up next.
Let's go. I need a change in my life, cause I don't feel alive, and there's nothing that makes me happy. Oh. And we all got dreams.
We all want things, but what you gonna do for it? How you gonna move for it? What you gonna be?
All right, y'all, welcome back. We just wrapped up talking about our kids and the histories that we pass down to them. And we got to remember, when we're passing down these histories, a lot of times it's in our language, our body language, how we deal with our own hair, how they see if we're caring for our hair or if it's a struggle for us. We got to think about the histories that we're passing down to them. But now let's talk specifically about us, the ones who are raising them kids and trying to do our best to honor our elders in their aging and final years. So we're the ones in the middle. We're the meat of this sandwich generation. We're the ones juggling work and bills, trying our best to raise these kids, visiting or caring for elders in their home or in ours, and trying to remember to drink some damn water. I mean, shit, sometimes the water, it's like, did I drink some fucking water today? I'm like, golly. But anyway, this is the meat of the sandwich. You is the meat. Remember back in the day, they used to say, where's the beef? You is the beef. You is the meat of this here sandwich, okay? This is the part where we hold the most weight because we gotta look like we know what we're doing. But sometimes we sure as fuck don't. We just don't know what the fuck we are doing. We're trying. We try to move with grace. But sometimes we just want to go in a corner, curl up and cry. Shit. What the hell are we supposed to do with any of this? Nobody gave us a book, but maybe we can create it. Maybe together we can create the book, the manual for how to manage all of this. So, you know, in part one, I was talking about how the lock method changed the game for me and my curls. But then life got busy and I started slacking. And as Black adults sandwiched between two generations, our self-care a lot of times falls to the bottom of the priority list. You know, so, but today I want to layer on a new lens. You know, what does it mean to care for our hair when our ancestors had theirs taken from them? You know, like, what does that mean? What does that look like? How do we honor them and provide legacy for ourselves and for our family with that contextual information? So what does it mean to moisturize a texture that was once mocked? Maybe still is mocked. You know, in the Black community, we have this thing called, they don't call it this way so much anymore, but it's called the dozens. And usually it manifests with, your mama so fat that, your mama so black that, your hair so nappy that. I feel like we need to retire all of that shit. It is so toxic, gaslighty, manipulative. I don't even know what the fuck to call that. We need to move on. There's something else to do in life. But your texture might still be getting mocked. You know, when your parents combed your hair, or even if they look at it, if you decided to go natural, they might say, you so nappy. Are you going to do something with that nappy shit on your head? You know, what does it mean to celebrate coils that were once shaved off? And what does it mean that now you might feel some relief that shaving off your head as a woman is a trend that you can hang your hat on, so to speak? What does it mean to braid styles that once carried secrets of rebellion and liberation, right? So it means that our self-care is political. It's historical. It's spiritual. So on the political lens, I happened to catch wind that recently Megyn Kelly strongly criticized Michelle Obama and her narrative in her new book called The Look, saying it was perplexing, claiming that she's always reducing everything to race, saying that virtually every woman I know wants her hair to look better than God made it. But you're not still understanding the plight. And literally, I have wanted to put on almost everything I've seen since then. Megyn Kelly. Hashtag Megyn Kelly. Every hair care video that I've seen for a black woman that is taking 2, 3, 4 hours to naturally care for her hair, I have wanted to hashtag Megyn Kelly on that. Because this is what happens when people say, I don't see color. Yeah, of course you don't. You don't see me either. You don't see my struggle. You don't see what I'm going through. You don't see the fullness of who I am. So when we take it back, how can we care for our own hair in ways that allow our children and even, you know, maybe your elder is the one when you come through rocking your natural hair that's saying, you know, are you going to do something with that nappy shit on your head? And then you're having to navigate your childhood trauma while you're trying to move into the fullness of who you are currently. So, you know, when we think about black women shaving their heads, it's a modern reversal. It almost reminds me of what happened with the N-word, right? It's been repackaged and repurposed and it's been reclaimed and the power has been taken away, you know. And if you want to use this word, it's almost been trademarked by the culture. And although I'm not that big on the use of the word, I respect the use of the word because it's almost like an arm wrestle to the oppressor. You understand what I'm saying? So when we talk about this movement, you know, maybe in the last 5 to 10 years, black women have been shaving their heads. And I know some white women have done it too. Women of different cultures have done this and they do it for different reasons. I know there's Sinead O'Connor. Okay. So we all can remember that and you can look her up if you don't know. And then there are some female monks that shave their heads as well. But literally after getting off of a slave ship, the first thing that would be done to some enslaved African women was their heads would be shaved. So what's happening now is that what used to be a tool of domination is now a tool of choice. It's a tool of style. It's a tool of the creation of a new beauty standard. You know, I think also about how some black women and black men, too, be walking around with them bonnets on, right? And people got a problem with that. But you got a problem with my natural hair, too. Okay? You got a problem with anything that I do with what's on my crown, with what's on my head. So, you know, the women that I explained, you know, before, and I believe Ayanna Pressley, I think she turned alopecia into power. Invisibility, you know, and she's a congresswoman. And so imagine the power of that, being a professional, you know, occupying a political space and saying, look, damn it, you are going to accept me for how I present my own self to the world. You will not craft me. You will not package me. So these women are redefining femininity. They're not running from history, but reshaping it. And I'm sure some black men might say, well, that don't look feminine. What's she doing? What man ever going to be with her? Trust me, I see plenty of men with these bald women. Okay. So do you know how powerful it is to wake up and say, this is my beauty. I entered the world on this day on my own terms. That's not vanity. That is reclamation. Like I said, that is liberation. Some people don't have any idea how liberation feels after being suppressed and repressed in so many different areas of your life. You know, so, you know, the connection is, you know, the burnout with the whole sandwich gin life. You know, when you're taking care of everybody else, sometimes shaving your head isn't just a style decision. it's a time decision. When I didn't shave my head bald, but in the last segment, I mentioned how I shaved my, I cut my hair very, very low. It was less than an inch. It was probably a half an inch all the way around. And like I said, that was when I could see that my curl pattern isn't exactly like my oldest son's curl pattern. It looks the same on the outside, but his hair is a lot coarser than mine. So sometimes shaving your head is a mental health decision. It's one less thing that you have to fucking worry about in the scheme of all the shit that gets tossed your way. Do we even want to talk about dealing with microaggressions at work? You know, to be able to roll out of bed and have a low to no stress interaction with the follicles on your head, that's a fucking thing, okay? You know, it's kind of a let me reclaim my mornings my way kind of a decision. And then our kids see that. Our kids see our freedom in that. Our elders see it. Now that one, now we know that might be a fight. That might be a fight because they don't like things other than the way they've always did it and all this other shit that be coming up. We already know that. Okay, they might accept it and they might not. But one thing's for sure, you ain't got to stay in the, room that long, right? And sometimes, like I said before, I take my mother in doses of 30 to 45 minutes, you know. But our kids see our acceptance of ourselves. Our elders see our acceptance of ourselves. Our coworkers even see it. And yeah, they might grumble or they might have something to say. So the fuck what? Get over it. You know, this is about you. This is about you so you can manage at least those two other areas of your life. You know, your kids and your elders. So every act of care that we give to ourselves echoes through the people who depend on us. And, you know, and helps us to balance things so much better. So I've had to go through some varying emotions after I heard, you know, what Megyn Kelly said. I don't be up in them streets too much. Them particular streets. I don't know what you want to call them streets. I don't know if you want to call them streets, MAGA streets. I don't know if you want to call them entitlement streets. But I don't be walking down them streets too much. But I'm telling you, when I heard her say that, I was like, wow, what is it going to take for others to get it? What is it going to take for others to get us? Or does it fucking matter? Maybe you need to get you. Maybe that's what being the meat is about. Saying, fuck everybody else. If they get it, they get it. If they don't, they don't. This is so funny. I remember last episode, I was like, I'm going to curse less. Maybe not. Sometimes you just got to get that shit out. I'm telling you, this is the result of having lived a repressed life. So, you know, sometimes you make these promises to yourself and then you decide that you're going in a different direction. And that's okay, too. So coming up, we're going to be talking in the next segment about some other things. We've talked about the kids. We've now talked about us. We are the caregivers in the middle who forget to care for ourselves. But coming up next, we're going to honor the bottom bun. That's the foundation, right? Our elders. And we need to think about how hair, history, and memory shape memory care, right? Right? That's a relationship too. What is their relationship with their own hair? And how can we better that? How can we build it? Maybe sometimes, maybe if they look at us, maybe they'll be brave to try something new, to develop a better relationship with their hair. Or is that even possible? And is that something that you should be worried about? Maybe you should just be worried about your own self. Let's talk about it. Coming up next.
I feel like I'm losing my mind. Is everybody in the world blind? Please, Lord, give me a sign, a sign.
Welcome back. Now it's time to be talking about that bottom bun, the foundation that holds us all up, the history, our elders. And listen, this part is tender. Like I said last time, just like my mama head, because she tenderheaded. And in case you don't know what tenderheaded is, it means you might have a lot of hair, but it hurts to comb it. Some of us have tenderer heads than others. You know, this part is tender because these histories that we've been talking about, they live inside the DNA of our bodies. They're epigenetic. They live inside our hair follicles. You know, they live inside our elders' memories, in their scalps, in the rituals, in the pain, in their beauty. And I'm just having a memory of my great-grandmother. I remember one time she had me do her hair, and I think it was some kind of tar something that I had to put in her head. Oh, my gosh, it smelled horrible. At that point, she had very little hair to work with. But I could tell that was something very important to her. And then coming full circle, when my youngest son had cradle cap, it was so bad that all of his hair fell out. And one of my good friends suggested neem, N-E-E-M, and pine tar soap. I think it's called pine tar soap or pine tar shampoo. And I'm telling you, that got him squared away. His hair grew back in. He now has a full and complete head of hair. But anyways, in part one, I talked about my mom, her two little pigtails, and living in assisted living. And the actual longing that I've had to braid her hair, even though our relationship is complicated, right? So sometimes that's the sandwich generation, hair, elders, and complicated relationships. I mean, shit. And that shit is real, you know? Sometimes the folks who raised us are also the folks that hurt us. What the fuck do we do about that? You know, and caregiving isn't always easy. But even when I'm not the one braiding her hair, I see the symbolism. Like I said in part one, I see the care she used to give me, you know, getting that part straight all the way from the tip of my nose to the nape of my neck. I remember her gentle touch. I remember, you know, her releasing the tension from those ponytail holders at the nape of my neck. And now I see how her generation navigated a world that policed their hair even more than ours. You know, I remember my mother's hair was always straight. It's very interesting in thinking about it now. Like, wow. I talked last time about her putting me up on a ironing board so that she could get my hair and my head into the kitchen sink. But the funny thing I'm remembering now is I don't ever remember her washing her hair. And I know she did because her hair was beautiful every week. But that just goes to show you that it's not that our children are self-absorbed. But even now, I can't think of a time I've seen my mother wash her hair. Isn't that interesting? You know, like, it's not a suffering in silence type thing. It's just more of a keep it moving type thing. You know, that's very interesting. That's a very interesting revelation and observation. But, you know, our elders, my mother included, they lived through job discrimination for their natural hair. You know, there was the good hair and the bad hair hierarchies within our own communities. They had to straighten their hair to be considered respectable. And, you know, they're just ask some, you know, if you're brave enough, ask some black women about having their hair straightened with a pressing comb. I guess you could say I was lucky not to experience that. However, there were some in my family that did. You know, the smell of hair being straightened. You know, all the shit we have to go through for respectability. And I believe I mentioned last time, sometimes the braids we wear on our heads now are filled with carcinogens and toxins. Scary shit. You know, the chemical relaxers have been shown to cause reproductive disorders and cancer. You know, and then think about the civil rights era with, you know, oppressors and racist people policing afros and braids. Yeah, you can wear that with your people, but you can't come to work like that. And some of us say that to each other, too. It's not just them saying it. Sometimes we say that shit to each other. I remember one of my first jobs I had, I would come with my hair wrapped. And this lady had been in the military. And she didn't have any trouble, any problem with how I did my job. You know, she was welcoming me to the group and everything. But one day when she had a chance to pull me to the side, she said, yeah, we don't do that here. The fuck? It's an African head wrap. What happened to us connecting to our ancestors, right? What happened to us, you know, all of that. Sometimes the problem is not from without, but it's from within. I mean, and we've been through a lot. Our people have really been through a lot. So even knowing what is acceptable, you know, you're going to get a different answer depending on which black person you talk to. You know, our elders also lived through a lifetime of being told that their hair isn't good enough as it is. They were told that their hair is unprofessional. It's unkempt. It's too black. And then, you know, the generation before them, some of them live with the trauma passed down from ancestors whose hair was cut by force. So how do we honor them through today's hair practices? You know, every twist, every braid, every wash day, every shaved head, these are the chances you get to sit with your elder and get them to open up. You know, what is your relationship with your hair? What is your hair history? Do you like it being that way or would you like it to improve? You know, and some of them are, as the saying goes, set in their ways. But you never know. Your elder might appreciate that conversation. So, you know, we can honor them through today's hair practices in every twist, every braid, every wash day. You know, these are not just styles. They're conversations with the past. You know, when we braid their hair, when we moisturize our own hair, and we wish to care for our parent or our elder's hair, even when the relationship is hard, we're participating in an unbroken line of survival. But y'all, ain't y'all tired of surviving? I'm ready to move out of survival and get into thrival, y'all. Where is the thrival? I'm ready to thrive. You know, maybe we could use elder wisdom as foundation. You know, maybe collectively, like my mother said to those combing her hair, maybe all of our elders remind us, start at the ends and then work your way up. Maybe this is a metaphor not just for hair, but for healing as a whole. I mean, the generations before us went through so much just to get us here. And it's up to us to band together, first within ourselves. And you might be saying, how can you band together within yourself? Well, there's an internal trinity, isn't there? Isn't there a mind, body, spirit? You know, maybe you start there. Some have even said that that our hair is coiled as an antenna to the Creator. How about that? Have you ever thought about that? Maybe there's a new narrative that we need to start saying. Maybe there's a new myth a new legend, a new story to tell when it comes to the hair. And maybe if you reach back into the wisdom of your elder, maybe you'll figure out what that is. We don't know unless we ask. And one thing is for sure, two things are for certain, as our people say. Sometimes the answer is right up under your nose. We have to start by being brave enough to have that conversation. Well, Granny, how you want me to do your hair? Well, Papa, how you want your hair cut today? You know, and, you know, when you think about hair for the men, it's also the beards and the mustaches and the goatees. You know, hair should be for healing. So, again, my name is Mitch, and I am with the Sandwich Generation. You can reach us at DASANDWICHGENRATION. And you can find us at our website, thesandwichgeneration.com. You can email us at thesandwichgeneration@gmail.com. We would seriously love to hear from you. We'd seriously love to know what you want us to talk about next. I know some of the things I'll be talking about coming up are drumming, and there's something called sharenting. I just heard about that today, where people put too much information about their kids on social media. So sharing and parenting combined. I think it needs a better term than that. But we're trying to build this community out, y'all. I know I also want to do another episode about drumming. That should be interesting because drums are very, I'm going to use the word primal, although it has a very stereotypical lean to it that I don't like, but they're very internal. They're very ancient. So we'll be dealing with drums in one of our upcoming episodes. And I'm going to just be honest with y'all. I really do think it's going to be a part three of the hair. Because honestly, when you think about Black people, that's usually one of the first thing that walks in the room is our hair and the conversation about it, you know, amongst ourselves and amongst others. Oh, girl, your hair is laid. Slay, girl, slay. What the hell did she walk in here with on her head? What she think this is? Why she wear her hair like that? Oh my gosh, sometimes we can be the absolute living worst with one another. So maybe that's part of the conversation. How do we improve that? Because as a people, we have so much to celebrate. And our hair is front and center of what that should be. So we started today with the kids, them babies. And maybe we think about some natural and protective hairstyles for kids too. But they are the top bun, figuratively and literally speaking, you know, pun intended. Maybe you put a bun on your child's head. I don't know. And then we move through to ourselves. And remember, you are the meat. You are the meat. Then we ended up with our elders, the foundation, the bottom bun. And woven through all of it is what? Our hair. Our hair is literally what ties us together. Our hair is what tells the story. Our hair speaks the tale. It is identity, survival, resistance, reclamation. Our hair is an inheritance. And let me say it again before we go. This podcast, this episode is an act of resistance. It's against erasure and closure, silence. Against the rewriting of our past. And as long as we keep telling our truth, your truth, my truth, that lineage can stay loud and our voices can be heard. If this episode moved you, reach out to us, connect, build up this family. Visit our website. We'll see you soon.